It's time to talk NBA, Matt.
Oh, my.
I was glued to my TV last night like this was a Mavericks game. I thought there was a chance I might cash in at halftime and watch the rest of it this morning. That was not happening last night. That was an incredible game. The Suns 104, the Clippers 103. The Suns now up 2-0 in the series. And I guess you kind of have to see how the finals would shake out. But if the Clippers are able to come back from 0-2 three straight times on the way to an eventual championship,
man,
that would have to be in the conversation for one of the most impressive championship runs in league history.
Especially if they do it in this series with no Kawhi.
No Kawhi, exactly. Just a very, very entertaining, very weird game, very physical game. We had changes to the starting lineup with Beverly and Zubat starting for the Clippers, try to get a little more physical with Booker, which immediately happened. Last night was a peak Patrick Beverly game.
Man, no doubt.
So annoying, dude. So annoying. And to me, he's crossed over the line of like what people used to say about Steve Ott, of, oh, if he's on your team, you love him. If he's on the other team, you hate him.
Yeah, like the ultimate pest.
Yeah, but to me, I'm to the point where I don't want anything to do with Patrick Beverly. I know that was something we kicked around for the Mavericks a couple years ago. I believe he shares an agent with Luka, but he plays dirty. He puts a lot of people at risk, and I don't think he's very good anymore.
Yeah,
so it just looks annoying.
It's a little much.
It's a lot of much.
It's too much antics.
Yeah. So he gets caught up with Booker in a play that breaks Booker's nose.
Yeah, which is wild because Beverly also was bleeding.
Yeah.
But yet reacted not at all in the moment.
Right.
And it wasn't until later that he started like tapping his head like, well, I'm bleeding too.
Yeah, and then there was the offensive foul on Booker where Booker barely grazed him.
I know.
And then Beverly reacts a second later as if he has just been sniped, you know, by
special ops. I
immediately
thought that. I was like, so what are you? That puts you down, but knocking heads with somebody, you were totally fine.
Yeah. And then you've got Marcus Morris mixing it up. Boogie, of course. It's just a fun matchup. It's a fun matchup, even without Chris Paul. Chris Paul's back for game three. But it was a physical game. It was a fun game, and it was a controversial game.
Man.
Because I just looked on my, let me pull this back up here, on my NBA League Pass app. The last, I want to say it was 8 seconds of this game took 19 minutes.
It was to a point where the drama was kind of awesome, but at the same time, it's one of the reasons why late-game NBA drives me insane.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason why 8 seconds of life should take you 19 minutes.
And they've tried to clean that up a little bit. You know, they've tried to speed up the game a little bit, but if that's your goal, let's start with the Devin Booker turnover with just over a minute left.
You know.
That is my least favorite call in basketball, and as good as review can be in some situations, that is the absolute pitfall of review. It is impossible in most situations for you to knock the ball out of someone's hand and them not have it kind of still on there when you knock it out of their hand. Your fingers are on the ball.
Yeah.
So even if they swipe it out, yes, you might have the very tip of your pinky still on there because the ball was bouncing back into your hand. I thought that's how they were going to lose.
They have to clearly define the intention of the rule, which everybody was saying, you know, before replay, the referees were taught who made the ball go out, not who last touched it.
Right.
And in that case, obviously, it wasn't Booker. And I just thought that that's so strange because if that happens at any other moment of the game, they don't even think twice about it.
Right.
But because it was in that moment, oh, well, hold on, let's stop down and take another 5 minutes to review something that we all would have just made the call and gone on with and been fine with.
Like, wouldn't you say that almost any out-of-bound, like, dead ball turnover, you could 50% of the time you could review that and it wouldn't
right.
be considered
turnover?
Right, and
they go, oh, well, I don't know, his fingernail, right. I think, is on it. Well, let's go back and review it 15 more times.
And I hate calling games differently at the end than you do.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the rest of the game. And typically when you say that, that applies to swallow the whistle.
Sure.
Let them play. But now we're dealing with review, let them play. And it's maddening because that right there felt to me like, okay, because the Suns are up three at that point with the ball, with a minute left, You lose that one. They call a foul on Booker. George makes two free throws. George comes down and hits another jumper. Now the Clippers are up 101-100. But man, those two Paul George free throws that ultimately, when they're up 103-102, the Suns foul with 8 seconds left, and he misses both of them. And he's been playing so well. And I immediately, in my head, was like, good.
I was too, man. I was like, this is
I'm
karma.
I'm a bad person. But I was just, you know, karma for the out of bounds and karma for my still upset feelings about the Mavericks series and some of the calls that that went not our way in that series. But yeah, that was huge. You missed both those free throws. You're giving the ball back. Then we had the really weird situation where the Suns get the ball back down one. Booker swings the ball. I think it was the Mikal Bridges for a corner three.
Yeah.
Doesn't go in, but when it goes out, now there's another review.
Yeah.
And we're reviewing how much time is left on the clock. Initially, they probably looked at whether or not who touched it. Did Ayton touch it? But that review right there, as Van Gundy, and by the way, I thought Van Gundy and Mark Jackson were awesome last night, and I don't say that very often. I generally think of them as like the two Muppets up in the balcony who are just...
Oh, the two old men? Yeah.
Marley and Marley or something?
Right, yeah.
Statler and Waldorf, maybe?
Something like that.
Living names? But that's what they remind me of, is that everything in the game sucks. It just sounds like they're doing an old man podcast or radio
show. Yeah, and
then
half the time, like, Van Gundy will say the weirdest, like, well, you know what they ought to do is you shouldn't be able to play with tennis shoes in the final quarter.
Yeah, he's always trying to rewrite the rule book.
Yeah, it's really weird.
But they were great.
They really helped, I think, to understand a lot of the technicalities that were happening with some of these weird calls.
Better than the refs.
Way better than the refs. Because I, even with the Booker thing, I was like, well, this is obvious. And then the way they broke down what that was supposed to be and the intention of it and why they thought it was going to go against the Sun. I mean, it was fantastic, especially with the inbounds play you were about to get to.
Yeah, so the Suns get a free timeout because of the review on where was the ball, how much time, whenever it went out of bounds. So now there's 0.8 seconds left on the clock. Down one, you pretty much got to go to the rim.
Yeah.
That's your only play. You're probably not going to get a clean look at a catch and shoot, so you're inbounding from the corner. And I'll be damned if Jay Crowder did not make the best pass of the NBA season last night. I did not know that was in his bag, and I would actually take you back to, I don't recall when this happened in a game, I think it was a quarter before, when he pulled up on the break and threw another oop to Ayton. If you recall that one, they were on a break, and it looked like he was going to go to Booker, and it almost looked like a shot at first. And I think Van Gundy said, I thought that was going to the crowd. Like, I thought that was going into the stands, but Ayton can sky. And he went up and flushed it down, and I thought, hot damn. Hot damn. Sorry, did that sound bad?
A little bit.
Is Jay Crowder a passer now?
Apparently, man.
Like, he's...
That inbound pass.
He was making plays left and right.
Because you knew that they were going to have to do this, that it was going to be throw it towards the rim, try to get a tip, try to get what and hope that somehow miraculously it goes in. And I mean, when it happened, I jumped off my couch. I was like, holy S, like, did that they scored.
How about the Booker screen?
It was the whole design of everything and the execution is one of the best plays in that situation. Because I can't recall another time that actually worked.
I can't either. Do you, Blake, Mino, have you ever, I've never seen, and I've definitely never seen it, I guess this is what it would have to be, in walk-off fashion. And to throw that from the corner, and if you see the angle that he threw that from, that's from Crowder's angle, it misses the corner of the backboard by maybe an inch, maybe half an inch. That was so close to being the biggest fail you could possibly imagine, because it was just going to careen off the side of the backboard and end the game. That was a huge risk. It was perfect. The screen by Booker that set him up to get around Batum. I was thinking this, though. If you're Boogie, don't you just play the corner?
That was an awesome play by the Suns, but that was a bigger fail by the Clippers.
It felt like it. That was, again, hot damn. Great pass by Jay Crowder. Great screen by Booker. Great flush by Ayton. But to me, and Ty Lue knows more about basketball than all of us combined will ever forget. But I would think your only play is the rim. Why isn't Boogie denying from the corner with his hands up? Like, look, if you want to throw it out there, if you think somebody can get a look and get it off in 0.8, go for it. But I'm denying you the ability to throw the ball right at the rim. And they didn't.
Yeah, I thought they should have had somebody in the paint just to keep him from jumping towards
that's
the rim.
Right. Like, I mean, because that's your only play. You have to. It's the miraculous. You're hoping that Ayton, and I never thought he would. I mean, he literally, the ball was over the cylinder, which I thought Van Gundy and Jackson did a great job of explaining why on an inbounds pass that's legal. It's not goaltending.
Live ball.
You know, and it's literally right there. I had no idea. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, that's goaltending.
Well, the Clippers thought that.
and they're explaining that. And the fact that Ayton, because he can get up so well, goes over and just basically throws it straight down.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
And then if Van Gundy and Mark Jackson weren't done, over the next 10 minutes, they then helped Scott Foster, the head referee last night, sort out that you have to put the same players back on the floor. Now, I did know that, but it appeared the referees didn't.
It was so weird, man.
They were going to leave Reggie Jackson, and they were going to let the Clippers sub.
Yeah.
And
with multiple guys. And then they flipped out a couple of them, and there was still another guy.
Yeah, Batum was still out there.
And you could hear Van Gundy. No, he was still on the floor. You know, like, what are we doing, man?
It was really weird. I almost think that if Van Gundy and Mark Jackson hadn't been crowing so loud about that, I wonder if they would have done anything about it. It appeared to me the ball was about to be inbounded by, I think it was Reggie Jackson, when Van Gundy started getting loud, which that's a huge, it's a low percentage that they're going to convert no matter what, down one with what they ended up saying was what, 0.7?
Seven. Yeah.
But that was weird to me too.
I thought so.
But 0.7, if you can get Reggie Jackson out there and you can get Batum out there, guys who can shoot.
Yeah.
You do not want Zubats and DeMarcus Cousins for a full court play. That's failed. And that's what Van Gundy was saying is like, hey, yeah, they have a play for this, but they don't practice it with these guys out here ever because they would never be out here in a normal situation where you're calling a timeout. Yep. So just a wild, wild end of that game that took forever. I thought the call was great. I thought the refereeing was a little left some to be desired. I mean, the fact that it took that long to sort that out.
All the different situations. Yeah. How many times they had to go to review, and sometimes when it seemed like they didn't really know what was going on, it was weird.
It was.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.